Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host this morning, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studio again, praise God, is Steve Kalaszewski. Good morning.
Good morning.
We'll give a shout out this morning to Brett, who's in training in Indiana.
Awesome, Indiana. Very nice.
Man, he has learned so much. Oh, my goodness. Give a shout out this morning also to John, man. Can't wait to have you on Monday. Oh, my goodness. You have so much to share. I'm kind of holding off and letting you to share it. Give a shout out this morning to Eddie Padilla. Happy birthday, man. Happy birthday to you. Give a shout out also this morning to Pam Gray. Happy birthday to you, Pam. Happy birthday to you. Eddie, I got to get some of them special ribs, man. Oh my goodness, send some of that special sauce down. Morning, morning, morning. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Steve Kalaszewski.
Hello, hello.
Oh, my goodness, man. Here we are again. This is so wonderful to come to be able to encourage our listeners, huh?
God is good.
He is so, so good. I just want to welcome you this morning to VFN Radio. We are pumped about coming to you again to share with you what God is laying on our hearts together. And we have so many testimonies we want to share with you, you know, as we walk this whole conversation out together. Yeah, this is a conversation that we believe we've begun and we won't finish it.
Mm. Amen.
Into eternity, we'll Amen. Still be talking about the wonders of the Lord and all that he's doing. I do want to give a shout out to all the VFN family across the United States today to remind you that August the 3rd through the 5th is this year's VFN family gathering, just days away. So I want to encourage you to get all your city churches together to be able to worship together, you know, the family fellowship. And we're going to focus on, you know, the original intent, mm-hmm. the church in America. It's going to be a time, just I remember last year how awesome.
Oh, my goodness.
The Lord's presence just came down powerfully as God was reminding us and refreshing us, giving us his perspective of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and speaking of that, you know, this morning the defense minister for Syria was killed through a bombing strike in the inner circle of the Syrian leadership there. He was killed this morning, and they are coming in. They are coming in like they came into each of the other Arab nations mm-hmm. as the Arab Spring is going right there. And it looks like that Syria is on the decline, that the Muslim Brotherhood, you know, which we talk quite a bit about, is pushing, and now they've killed the one who's heads up the defense
strategy.
You know, and you got to go back and look into the VFNTV blog at VFNTV.com and listen to the highlights and understand how significant this. So many things are happening right now that our Lord, I mean, prophetically could come back in any moment now for his church. I mean, you got pre-trib, mid-trib, mm-hmm. and post-trib. You know, people believe that, you know, God's going to rescue us before the tribulation. Mm-hmm. And you have people that say, you know, during the time of the mid-trib, when all the tribulation's happening, you know, God's going to rescue us in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
And other people who say, you know, that it's all going to happen and then God's going to arrest us. Come rescue us, right?
Right.
And so I'm kind of like a pan trip. It just kind of all pans out in the
Jesus
end.
Jesus is coming.
Jesus is coming.
That's the,
no. But he does say, you know, he's going to come at the last trumpet sound. When the last trumpet sounds and you see the judgments of the trumpets,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the Revelation when he talks about how he's coming, when that last trumpet sounds, you know, it lines strictly up with that's when he's going to come for his church.
Right.
So wherever that fits in your pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, he said, when the last trumpet sounds, and there's seven trumpets that sound, and each trumpet looses things upon the earth, and there's so many people suffering in the earth, and have always suffered. You know, I think, you know, America has kind of come up with a gospel that's a little bit different, that you don't have, there's no suffrage, you know, at least the present, you know, generation, you know, 1.5 generation, 1.5 generations back. And the truth is, you know, people have suffered greatly,
right.
And they would tell you, this seems like mid-trib to me, you know, but I'm in tribulation right now. This is bad.
Right.
You know, we have dictators over us. We have terrible things going on. We're being oppressed. And here they are right now. You know, the Israeli government is being shaken up as we speak. They have to build a consensus of government to be able to lead. And so Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, had a great majority. You had to build a majority going with him. But all of a sudden, one of his big followers, the America would call the middle of the road type. Moderates, middle of the road. Yeah, what an interesting, it's kind of the same thing in moderate. And I'm kind of moderately for God. No, I'm kind of moderately for Israel. It's like Jiminy crickets. Anyway, so Jiminy moderate crickets, right? That was for you, Pat. I mean, we just pray, you know, Pat and his family's on the road. Trace is on the road coming back from Orlando. We just pray God's traveling angels with you. And looking forward to having you back in Pensacola. But yeah, now so Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, is his government's kind of be shaken up a little bit, which is not good. This is not good time when Syria, which is on their northern borders, you know, Syria and Lebanon, the highest mass of chemical weapons, and
not good,
and Iran and their partnership with Iran and Russia, you know, and our own president is going, listen, you know,
don't look over there. Don't look over there.
Well, no. Well, actually, the president's even saying, he's telling Russian, you know, president. He says, "Hey, just let you know that I don't have as much flexibility right now. But when America puts me back in again, you know, I'll be able to chat with you more right then." And you're looking at missile defense,
right?
Yeah, we talked more about that, I believe, on Monday. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to get that. You'll get that, and the highlights will be available for you on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
But my goodness, so many things are happening. Well, remember to pray for Israel. If you have not pulled this application down, what's the name of the application for your phones? It's a prayer app, and we'll get it in a minute. And you can download it on your phones, your Android.
Oh, Lord Help Israel.
Is it? Your Lord Help Israel. And you push it, and every day at 12 noon, Lord Help Israel. Just search for that in your apps. It's by MAOZ. Israel, which probably means Lord Help Israel, you know, probably. It's pronounced. And what happens is at 12 o'clock in your time zone, which means it's 12 o'clock every hour somewhere in the world, it'll go off and play, you know, some music from that you're, you know, familiar with when you think about Israel. And it'll just remind you just to go say a prayer at that moment for Israel. You know, and you can pray for, they need prayer. Listen, Israel's going to stand. I mean, God has and always will now. Now that it's been fulfilled, that they've been reestablished as a nation again, and their eyes are going to be opened. They're going to be saved, and at least, you know, the Lord's going to come back. They're going to have an opportunity to give their hearts to Jesus, the Messiah. And we're real close to that.
Right.
We're real close to a lot of things happening. I've seen Kedron Valley. You know, I've seen these areas. I've walked at the Western Wall. I'm at the walls of the City of David and prayed. You know, I've been at the Western Wall of the Temple Mount, and you can see Kedron Valley. You can see the Dead Sea. You can see, you know, it's just, you know, it's all coming to pass. An interesting thing about that is that you know, China right now, because part of the prophetic fulfillment is that China will march to Israel for resources, because they're so large. I mean, they're 1.3 billion people, and they're controlling their population growth through mandatory murder, you know, abortion of the children. You can only have one child. And that's what our president right now is thinking and talking about doing, and partnering with the United Nations to do the same thing in regards to look at managing challenge, creating opportunities to abort children to help population management.
Right.
And by the way, it works on both ends. You know, that they think you're too old, they'll kill you. And if they think you think you're too many, they'll kill you before you're born.
Right.
And that's what happens when Jesus was born, when Moses was born. You know, immediately Satan starts trying to knock off, you know, who's the deliverer, who's going to be delivering this next generation. And they don't know. And so they start killing off the next generation.
Right.
And
everybody.
Yeah, everybody, just trying to find the one body.
Mm-hmm.
And don't do that. We have a lot of things we talk about with that. You can find out more about that in the VFN TV blog. But I just want to encourage you, pray for Israel. Download that app, because life is so busy now that you need something that just tells you stop and lift up Israel. Just if it's a short prayer, Lord, protect Israel. Lord, save Israel. You know, pray for the priests of Jerusalem. He says, if you do this, he promises you that he'll protect you. And if you bless Israel, you'll be blessed.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Well, man, it looks like you have a great praise report here, because you just took, you know, you're in your last microseconds of your university experience. You know, you're about to head out to Pittsburgh at the University of West Florida. And you took your first major test, because you're taking a year-long class. And how long is the actual summer version?
6 weeks.
So you're taking a year and 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's one. It's called like is it called microwave? Is that what it is? You know, you get in there.
It's not accelerated.
Yeah. And so you just had your first, right?
Right. First test.
First test. That's awesome, man. Yeah,
just got the grades back on Tuesday.
Oh, good. You passed?
Jesus passed.
Did he? How about you? Did you pass?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome, man.
Amen.
That is so cool. Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
It is so God. So
I love
God.
This class. I'm in. Mm-hmm. You probably don't love it right now, but I love the class, because it is a class of real life, and everything that you've learned in your management administration degree is, it just brings it all together and makes it applicable. How do you apply this to a business? How do you put a business together? You know, there's one thing about, you know, in ministry, you know, we have people in the world that are managing their businesses better than the church is managing the Father's business.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times you think, well, you don't need to know anything. It's like, no, you're managing people. You know, you're encouraging them. You're managing finances, you know, and you're, you know, the Word of God says that he was that we need to be in good relationship, not only with God, but with man. I mean, obviously, not every man. I mean, everybody's not going to be happy about it, but at least some sort of effort, you know, to do the best you can to be able to do that. And when you show up at the workplace, your job, whatever job you have, you want to show up with some skills. You want to show up with how to manage. You want to show up, you know, we teach all of our leaders about, you know, value-based vision management and how to not only have a vision that God's given you, find the vision that God has for his kingdom and where you fit in his vision, but also to be able to, how to manage that vision based on the values. Because a lot of people sell out, and that's where America is right now. America, a lot of the church has sold out for their vision that they're fulfilling by leaving their values behind. You know, and God being the number one value for a believer. If God's not your number one value, then God's not your God.
Right.
You know, that simple.
Plain and simple.
Long story short, so we can use as much time today for everything else. But you can make them your God today by, you know, go to meetmyfather.org and find out a little bit about, you know, our stories. There's a couple of us there that kind of shared our stories about, you know, we needed to make God our number one priority. And that means a lot. It doesn't mean like I just go to church once a week. It means he's the Lord of my life.
Amen.
You know, and you just trust God at that point with the results. I do want to say, John's got so much to share with us, and I can't wait to he's joins us. Hopefully he's going to join us on Monday. He's some things happened that on, in Pennsylvania, when he was there with Elijah, had a wonderful time. He had a wonderful time with Elijah and going through the rite of passage. And what is that called when you swing on the wire thing and you go zip line.
I would say trapeze.
Yes. Yeah,
zip. But they did not go to
the, I think it was a zip line was like, I mean, 8 feet in the air or something. Mm-hmm. And he, it wasn't eight. I know, John. I know it wasn't eight.
It's but like they, six.
65 feet.
Oh, so.
65 feet. And to John, that's like 100. No. And so I can't wait for him to share about their experience. I got a chance to talk to Elijah a little bit, you know. And he was just so blessed. As so many people had written him letters of affirmation, mm-hmm. and you know, as a young man, and it's just so cool. You know, listen, it's just time to be the church. It's time for us to do this. You know, quit talking about it, to quit, you know, theorizing about it. You know, we talk about, you know, it's time to be a hear-do. You know, hear what God says and do it. You know, and operate as family of God. I do want to say this morning on the top five, we're going to talk about the top five this morning. What are the top five stories on the VFNTV blog? You get to the VFNTV blog by going to VFNTV.com and click on the blog. But the top five this morning, the number one is racism in the traditional church. You got to hear this. This is about a particular, Derek was on VFN radio, and he shared about his experience where he sat by, Derek is African American. He sat behind a lady that's a white lady, mm-hmm. And for 5 years, they worshiped together. They prayed together. They heard the same teachings together. And as he said, we fell on the same carpet by each other, the power of God. But yet, you know, after 5 years, you know, she didn't even know him.
Wow.
And she called the police on him when he was in the parking lot because she tells the police officer that there's a black male mm-hmm. in the parking lot peeking in the windows of the car.
Oh, no.
Oh, I have so much to say about that. And hopefully, you know, we're going to have time to begin that conversation. But we've got to deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
We got to deal with this. And, you know, we talk about, you know, our president has a book. And it's the name of his book is called Dreams from My Father.
Mm-hmm.
And now, as the church has turned its back, much of the church has turned its back on God's commands. It's set aside God's commands for men's traditions and philosophies, and we're adjusting everything. We're trying to say, I know that's what God's word says, but this is what it really says. And that now, if we don't humble ourselves and repent, that the sins of our sins and the sins of our fathers that our Lord forgave mm-hmm. and kept from washing over us, which are horrific. If you'll study, you need to study. I mean, every single schoolroom, at least in the church, you know, we're not telling the world what to do. We're talking to the church that you should teach, you know, African American or black history.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know what happened to the African American people in our country. And we can't just brush over it. It's horrific. There was oppression in this generation today. You know, the present generation doesn't even see race, you know, like the past generations did. But the reason why the past generations saw it and see it still is that it was horrific. Some of the things that were being done to people based on the epidermis, on the, the mm-hmm. believe it or not, you know, the skin color. And we would say, what's the big deal? When you study American history, it's a huge deal. Mm-hmm. It really happened. It's a true reality. And only by the grace of God and the forgiveness of God and the mercies of God has not the sins of our fathers washed over us. And the thing is listen, church, repent.
Right.
Humble yourself. Realize that your brothers and sisters are of all different ethnicities. And everyone deserves to be honored and loved, and nobody's any better than anybody else. And Jesus is exalted above all of us. And mm-hmm. so, you know, it's just on my heart. And so, our president has a book called Dreams from My Father. The Lord's put a message on my heart called Sins of Our Fathers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Ezekiel talks about it. If you do what's right, if you repent, if you, acknowledge the wrong, then God's not going to hold you accountable for it. But if you turn your back on God, even though you were walking with God, if you turn your back on God, then all of that he did not remember, he'll remember.
Right.
And there's some horrific things to remember. And it wouldn't be wrong for it to wash over America because it's a true situation.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it, why not stop it by humbling itself, acknowledging that we've turned from God's ways and turned back to him. Even if it means leaving every philosophy and every new thing that you feel like you've come up with just to have Jesus. I mean, think about this again. Think about this. Imagine this. I'm telling you. Imagine you and Jesus walking and talking and enjoying your day and him just directing your steps. Imagine signs, wonders, and miracles. Imagine him just saying, you know, I just think I'm going to give you a $20,000 pay raise in the midst of crisis with Great Depression.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if you got a diagnosis from the doctor that says that, you know, you have cancer and you're not going to make it. And then he just says, you know, in your abiding time, I'm just going to heal you from this. I'm going to set you free from this. Imagine loving God, loving others, and leading others to say, imagine enjoying your walk with mm-hmm. God and not avoiding God in your life because religion has kind of turned you off. But let me tell you something. You could be turned back on again in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, it's not as hard as religion's made it out to be, and it's not as happy-go-lucky as irreverence has made it out to be, but mm-hmm. it is a relationship. It's
right.
You're in a tension between the kindness and the sternness of God, and it's your awareness of his love for you and your love for him that actually brings you to that place of going, you know, this is awesome. This is a walk with the creator of the universe who holds everything together, mm-hmm. who put every star in place that shines down right now. Think about this. That even the light that's hitting the earth today that comes from the stars, that when he said it is finished years ago, when he said it is finished years ago, that those stars were put in place and the light that was shining at the time that he created earth, when he put the stars in place, was en route, because it's so far away, it was en route to the earth. Mm-hmm. And so the light that you're seeing today actually started when God created it, and it traveled so far and so long
to get to us.
Is this amazing? Yeah. He loves you.
That's all in control he is.
He is so, I mean, as you say, he's like a soda pop bottle. What'd you say? It's like a soda. No, what'd you say? A pop. Yeah. A pop.
Pop can
he's
revelation.
Like a, it's like a pop bottle in the ocean.
Well, our brain is like the pop can. It's like right. God is like all the oceans in the world. And it'd be kind of a little bit of strange to try to pick up what little water you could in your pop can.
He's talking about Coke for everybody else, a Coke can.
Soda.
Pop, yeah.
However you
want
to call it.
Yeah.
And that's just how big God is.
He's so huge.
So big.
Can you imagine this can mm-hmm. floating in this? I mean, even a huge ship looks like a can when you're out there. But but just imagine a can floating in the midst of Gulf of Mexico or the middle of the Atlantic. And it's going, well, I think. And the ocean it would just laugh, right? Like, really? Seriously? Watch this wave. Boosh! And a wave kind of comes over the can. It's like God is so in control. And we can so relax. We can sleep in the bottom of the boat, even in the midst of the great storms that come in life. Jesus was sleeping in the bottom of the boat. His disciples thought they were going to die. Listen, mm-hmm. listen, first of all, to die as a believer is gain. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, how we die, personally, you know, I'd like to be quick and over with.
Right.
You know, and, he was sleeping while everybody else was panicking.
Mm-hmm.
And finally they said, Jesus, wake up. And he goes, oh, great. I got to go up to the boat and talk to these guys. You know, anyway, obviously the bottom of the boat wasn't that far away. And so he gets up. Americans are bitching like he was in a cabin cruiser and he was sleeping in the fore aft of the boat on the cushion on the right-hand side. No, it was actually probably a wooden boat and he was right there laying on the.
He was getting rained on.
He's getting rained on. Yeah, right. And, of course, he just goes, oh, you of little faith. You know, and he says, you know, he speaks to the storm, peace be still. And everybody goes, who is this guy? Who is this guy? He's Jesus. The wind and the waves obey him. The storm will respond to the voice of the Lord. So anyway, if you want to find out more about that, if you're ready to be the church, go to vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org. Maybe you are called to relate to the VFN family or, you know, begin to look around and say, hey, you know, right where you are, begin a process of transformation. As a matter of fact, you know, the fourth story on top story on the VFN TV blog is about where to start for transformation. It's still in the top five. Praise God. Yesterday it was the top one. I was like, oh, praise God. Everybody's interested. You know, thousands are coming now to the VFN TV blog, which you get to at VFNTV.com. And it just begins a process. What's a simple step to be able to begin to transform? And it always starts with one man, one woman. Don't mm-hmm. look at everybody else and blame your present condition and circumstances on somebody else because blame is nothing but look at my excuse for me not obeying God.
Mm-hmm.
But you can start with your personal transformation. So there's simple steps to be able to do that and transform yourself. God transform you, transform a few others. And next thing you know, your whole congregation where you gather, that you guys would be walking and listening to God in your whole church gathering of people. No matter, I don't care if it's a crystal cathedral or a crystal house, you know what I'm saying? That whatever you're meeting in, that God would be there amongst you. And so it's encouraging. And that's actually the fourth one. But the second story on the top five is also Islam transforming through migration and immigration, that how you'll see the numbers of population growth in Americans. Talks about specifically how, you know, Americans aren't having babies. Europeans are not having babies, but Muslims are having babies. And through that alone, you know, they are doing taking over and getting mm-hmm. enough people to be able to push in the area of turning that nation into a democracy.
Right.
Where enough people just voted over, and next thing you know, it becomes an Islamic, under the Islamic Quran, mm-hmm. which they believe it should be. The third one is, will they put us in jail, which is about the healthcare law. Listen to that. You got to hear a congressman ask the question, and he asked the question, three things. Will IRS, which will be our new insurance agents, by the way, if they keep this law, you know, your insurance agent, the one who collects your premiums, that's going to be IRS. Oh,
goodness.
You're going to have to list it on your tax return.
Wow.
You have to list it on your tax return. Yeah. You have to and then IRS is going to give you a ring and say, hey, you know, your premiums are mine. Is that wild? Wow. And then you say, well, you know, I don't have the funds for it. And they say, well, I noticed that you have 10% that you're giving to God. You know, because they can audit you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they say. We can audit. They can seize your finances. They can seize your things, and they can put you in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that wild? And so they'll audit you and go, they'll start telling you where you can spend your money. By the way, God heals. Right. You know what I'm saying? you know, doctors are wonderful, and we love, you know, love the medical profession. They do a lot of wonderful things. But don't sell your soul out for an mm-hmm. aspirin.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And the last one is an explanation of America, Islam, and on a whiteboard. You can literally listen. It's an explanation of America, Islam, and the Muslim Brotherhood, or Muslim Brotherhood 101. You got to see that. It explains it to a T. And what Syria is fighting right now, what Syria is fighting at this very moment, they're fighting the Muslim Brotherhood. Think about it. The Muslim Brotherhood is who's trying to take over, and just had the minister of military forces killed. Think about it. I said, oh my goodness. So find out who the Muslim Brotherhood is. Go there. That's the top five. We'll be right back in just a moment.
This is one thing I want to ask you. I know that, you know, you had all this knowledge and you know, and you all your life you wanted to do something for God as soon as you found him. Or he found you.
Found me.
Yeah. And you, by the way, you can get Barbara's testimony.
Yes.
She's one of the ones that are available at meetmyfather.org. We're hoping we're going to have a picture of her and her dreads soon. You know, there, right?
Don't we
have
your dreadlocks. Yes.
Or her dreadlocks. Mm-hmm. Locks. And so.
They weren't Goldilocks.
They weren't Goldilocks. And so. But I want to, you know, tell me about VFNU, because I know that. You know, you have one mindset when you're coming in and how it just kind of shifted things. I mean, talk about VFNU for a moment.
VFNU is a wonderful thing. You definitely would get a different mindset. You start seeing things from a biblical perspective. You start seeing everything from a biblical perspective. It changes your life. Once you start changing your mindsets, everything else falls into line. I went through VFNU 2 years ago mm-hmm. at the beginning, the first session, but it was just the audio. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't have the tangible things that the other students were having then, because I was in Texas and they were physically going through it here in Pensacola. Mm-hmm. But then everything went online and I was able to see everything that was going on and read. And it made so much sense. So I'm thankful that I went through it a second time.
It's totally transforming, isn't it?
Totally transforming. It is.
And the first, you know, the first VFNU is a birthing process. Mm-hmm. And it's just so much more now in VFNU, because right. God just unfolded so many different dimensions of of what it what it's like just to be the church. You know, it's not that complicated.
It really isn't.
But it costs you. You know, salvation's free, but it costs you everything.
It does.
You can't just pop in and pop out. You know, in regards to, you know, go do something at the church as if you're not the church. You actually live your life in the context of the church.
Right.
You know, and it's easier when you do that. But then you're confronted when you do that. You're confronted with the fact, like, well, I didn't really want to be the church. I just kind of wanted to go to it. There's some place I could go to. Well, you go to anything.
Right.
But we are the building of God, you know, and the God's word applies to us.
And why it takes us all so long to understand that, I'm not sure. It's just such a mindset that has to be changed.
Well, I think, you know, it's been taught for so long now, you know, that it's promulgated probably since, you know, if you look all the way from the progressive movement, you know, about 1908, whatever, Woodrow Wilson. And
finally something before my time.
Right. Anyway, and they begin to just kind of change the way that we look at things. They begin to change our history. They begin to redo things all the way up until the time when you look at marriage change and the way that, you know, good things happen in regards to people's rights that happened.
Yeah.
And it wasn't too far away, by the way. You know, a lot of American things, oh, that's way back when. It wasn't way back when.
It wasn't.
And some of your brothers and sisters that are with you today, they've seen or their parents have seen the very things that you think is in history, and they're to be honored and to understand the context of that. And that'll be a future program on VFN Radio. But and it's one thing the church is going to have to get. If there's going to be a third great awakening, we got to understand this. You got to understand this. I know that Rick Joyner prophesied, you know, out of Morningstar Ministries that the next great awakening would come from the African American people in America because they were held under oppression for a time and a season, and God's going to anoint them to be able to bring the church into revival and into a great awakening. You know, and I'm like, that'd be so cool. You know what I'm saying? I just love that. God's just. God is so just. And quite often the counterfeit shows up before the real deal.
Right.
You know, and don't be disheartened, you know, when you see somebody misrepresenting. Realize that, you know, God can do what he wants to do. And I just pray that word comes to pass, you know. And but you need to really have, you know, empathy is so important. People don't want to hear from you until they actually know that you care. And you can't care unless you understand. And so you have to seek to get understanding. You got to walk in emotionally or mentally in someone else's shoes and understand it didn't just get this way, you know, and there's a process and things that happen. But so VFNU, I know that, you know, what you got from it was just so powerful. You know, days of our flesh, you know,
right.
You know, that's a powerful revelation, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So, by Steve Hill.
Yeah, yeah. Talk about that.
Days of our flesh. Oh, it was just an awesome teaching. It actually transforming and I'm so thankful that I was able to go through it, you know.
When you think about it, you know, everybody thinks they have forever.
Right. Yeah. And he just named so many of the men and women of God that have gone before us and how they died. By the time they were 50, they were no longer among us. So we don't have as long as we think we have.
I got a book right here in front of me, God's Generals, you know, it was written by Robert Sliordon.
Right.
And, 50s, you know, pretty much 50s, a few of them, you know, past that. And it could be the fact, I don't know why that would happen, but I know that if you understand what Steve's talking about and you have that passion and the drive inside of you, because as soon as he realized his days was numbered and he has a limited amount of time, and you got to get that. If you don't realize the question is not, are you going to die?
Yeah.
This is the question. The questions are this, is when will you die? How will you die? And how will you answer for the life that you live? That's it. It's not, will you die? You're going to die. It's appointed once to die. And then the judgment. And if you really get that, you know, you say, okay, now what do I want to do with this limited vapor that James says called life? And he got busy. Yeah, he and Jerry got busy. And that's what we're about, you know, getting busy. He's like, oh my goodness, I don't want to waste. And you don't know if you have tomorrow.
You don't.
You don't know, you know? And VFNU, this was all about. It's about, listen, giving you God's perspective of that you can do this. You don't know how many days you have left. And you can eliminate tomorrow's regrets today by doing what's right. And not only that, but God's giving you a great reward in this life called family, that you have brothers and sisters in the Lord, spiritual mothers and fathers that live as family. You celebrate, you go through difficult times together, but you have each other. You know, God wanted a family, so he sowed a son, right? He's Father God. Not only is Jesus our Lord, but he's our elder brother. We're like heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're the family of God. Isn't that awesome? And then the church has turned into some institution.
Right.
Now, Charles Simpson says this. He says, we institutionalize our children when they were little in tradition, and they institutionalize us when we're older. You know, and it's really true because they didn't live in the context of family. You sent them to a neurosurgeon and a podiatrist, you know, in ministry concepts where you said, well, I got a children's ministry and we have a women's ministry and a men's ministry. And it's all this breaking the family up. And now, you know, you're getting older and they're thinking, well, we're just going to put you in this institution, because I guess that's what you do, right? Because we didn't build any family relationships, so we don't feel that way towards you. And it's very sad. I mean, we see that happen, and it's like very, very sad. And so we're called to be family. So our reward is we're working from a place of success, is what you find out through VFNU.
Yes.
That we're not working for success. We're not trying to achieve something that gets us to a place of righteousness. We're already right in God. We're accepted in the family of God. But then also, that you do it, you're doing it in the context of a loving family.
Right.
Because I remember, this one guy told me this. He said, you know, it's pretty bad, you know, when you just dread going to work every Monday. You just dread going to work every Monday. And he said, it's really bad when you're the one that it's your company. You know, and so many people in ministry that love God are trying to do it for God in the context of men's traditions who set aside God's way of doing things. And they just dread showing up. It's just one big, you know, and it's difficult and it's all political and it's all just not family. You know, people are maneuvering and all this kind of stuff. It's like, really, you know, really. And then, you know, what we see, we start being the church. It's like, we're excited about coming together. Yeah. You know, you're not dressing up for nothing. No. You just kind of come together and just are.
Just be,
you know, and you have to unlearn. If the best thing for somebody, you know, entering the kingdom of God. Now what's happening is the people who've never been religious, but it's real difficult for those that have been religious. There's a lot of unlearning to do and to realize what was men's traditions and what is God's commands. They're a big difference, you know? And then from this wonderful environment called family, then you just go out and tell people about this great news that Jesus died for them and now lives for them and wants them in the family, not to be a member of a church. You know, he wants them to be the church. You know, he wants them to have his inheritance. He wants them to have the inheritance of God, right? Right. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He wants to be a co-laborer with them, you know, not to join an organization. And he wants to walk with them on a daily basis and abide with them.
Yes.
And just share about his heart to them. You know, Proverbs says, if you just would have listened, I just would have shared my heart to you. And you to share your heart with him. And then you talk and then, you know, just like Jamie and talks about, right. You know? And so, it's just so different.
Very.
You know, so I want to encourage you that if you personally feel that you're ready to just break loose from religion, you know, not a relationship with God. Now I'm talking about religion, men's traditions and all these different things that have held you back. And if you're using it for an excuse to say, I can't do it because, you know, listen, you're going to be held accountable for that. You answer alone. There's no suspects or witnesses at the throne room. You can't go like, well, so-and-so said. You answer alone. I want to encourage you that, you know, you can go to vfnu.org, vfnu.org, and you can find out, you know, a little bit about VFNU. But also maybe go to vfnfamily.org and see if that is for you, if you're ready to be family. There's one thing that we're missing, even like I talked about earlier with this young man who didn't have family. We have to rediscover family. The nation will change when the family changes, and the family will change when fathers get in their place and mothers get in their place. And the upside downness, it says a rebellious people, it said, this is what the word of God says, not me. A rebellious people, says women and children rule over it. You have boy leaders. You have boy leaders. And although they're men, they respond like boys. Like, that ain't fair. It's like, really? Really? And so, you know, but when things turn back again, there's order. The father's order comes back into the family again. So I want to encourage you. You want to find out more, you can go to VFNU.org and find out more about the VFN family. You can go to VFNfamily.org. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Steve Kalaszewski.
Hola.
Hola. Hola. ¿Cómo está?
Muy bien.
Okay. Well, you know, I want to cover real quick, like, we want to have this moment of wisdom for today. The moment of wisdom today, it's the 19th of the month, 18th of the month, and we are going to look at Proverbs 18:9. Let me pull it out right here while we're talking. Yeah, it's so important to have, you know, the wisdom of God kind of washed over you. I can't wait till we play. We're going to have some interviews with a particular man named Jerry. And in this meeting, in this interview with Jerry, I mean, he is like the Forrest Gump. Everything happened to him. You know, we wanted to verify. We're like, he's making this up. But, you know, he actually lives off the Proverbs being his guiding Proverbs, the Psalms, of course, the Word of God.
Wow.
But he gets his wisdom on how to run businesses from the book of Proverbs.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, most people say, you know, God, well, not most people, but you hear people say, you know, Jesus is my co-pilot. You know, it's like,
wow.
Nope. He's supposed to be your pilot. And, he says, no, he actually is, Jesus is the CEO of my company.
Mm-hmm.
And he lists himself in his corporate structure as Jesus is the CEO, and he works for Jesus. And people want him on.
Wow.
Boards. I mean, he has the ability, a gift to look at all the financials for a business. And he could tell you it's going to be a good investment. It's going to be a bad investment. I mean, the Lord just spoke to him about a particular situation, for example, Krispy Kreme. And he says, Krispy Kreme is good, you know? And so he just went and bought Krispy Kreme stock, and then it went skyrocketed.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden one day he was walking through his office, his large, you know, business, you know, medical type business. And then the Lord just says, you know, Krispy Kreme donuts are very bad for you, you know, because it's like fattening and all
right,
that. But they're
right.
Good. I love Krispy right. Kreme. I got a good friend that's a donut. I always joke like that. But so he went and sold his stock.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately that's when Krispy Kreme went through restructuring. They closed stores all over the place, and he did not lose one dime, and he made, you know, massive amounts of money. Listen,
wow.
God can direct you, and he keeps God as a leader. So it's Proverbs. It's why we're bringing Proverbs to you every day. We want wisdom over you every day,
mm-hmm.
so you can make decisions. I mean, even my grandson, David, he's 10 years old, and he's abiding in his Bible, and he's reading Proverbs, and he just reads it. You know, he spent a week with us, and he's just going like, this is so good. And it just, it's so good. It's like, I need, this is, isn't that great? A 10-year-old, because mm-hmm. it talks up. God's word, Proverbs, talks about everything.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about business partnerships. It talks about the just everything. And you'll go,
wow.
It won't be that confusing. But today we are going to be speaking on Proverbs 18:9. And it says, one who is slack, S-L-A-C-K, one who is slack in his work is brother to the one who destroys. Think about that. One who is slack in his work is a brother to one who destroys. A slack,
wow.
A slacker.
Right.
Right? A
mm-hmm.
slacker. And there are those people who are set on bringing destruction to theirs or other people's relationship. You know, I mean, they're plotters and they're strategers and they're just held captive and they're bringing, you know, things and they have intentions to do harm to someone's business, or they plot evil schemes to bring harm to people. I mean, that's a destroyer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yet there are those people who bring more destruction than this particular one, and it's called his brother.
Mm.
The brother of this one who plots and schemes destruction is the slacker.
Wow.
I know. Isn't that something?
That's a new paradigm.
Well, it's a God paradigm, because yeah. Jesus says if you don't gather,
you scatter. Right.
People in 95%, according to statistics, don't gather.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They don't win one person to the Lord in their entire Christian life.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to say, you know what? I got to get busy. I don't want to be partnered with the destroyer, brother of the destroyer. Yet there are persons who bring more destruction than this one who actually strategizes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the naivety of one particular thing. When I was interviewed years ago for my job in law enforcement, I was sitting at the end of this long table, and I didn't really necessarily want to be the police, you know, but I didn't want to be in construction. And it wasn't because my father and I were working together, but it was the fact that Jimmy Carter was president and interest rate was like 25%, you know, to get a loan. And I was building from the ground up. You know, the first shovel load of dirt, when you're shoveling dirt, it's pretty easy. But about noonday, when you're laying out a foundation of a house, it's like my kidneys are going, I'm back here, you know, and carrying shingles on a roof. I can imagine doing that today. So I get a phone call. From Major Adrian Kirksey, who's with the Lord right now. I just can't. This man has so much character. He would sit in restaurants, you know, in his time, and people would just gather around him. And it was just like it was like a father figure in the context of our community. And I just miss those men with those kind of character. And there are men like that, you know, in law enforcement. But it was just so cool season for the people that, you know, benefit. Anyway, he calls me up and he says, listen, you know, and I'm at the hardware company or the lumber company getting some lumber to build another house. And he says, do you want to be the police? I mean, do you want an interview or something like that? And I'm like, yes, you know.
Right.
And, you know, I never wanted to be the police, you know, I just didn't even know, just wasn't really I minded, I just didn't want to do that. And I'm sitting at the end of this long table, long story short, and I'm having this interview. And I'm at the very end of this, imagine a long boardroom table, and there's officers on both sides of them. And I think, you know, the host of WCOA, I believe Don Parker was probably on that. I don't know. If he's hearing this, he could tell me if he was on that board. Vince Seeley was the sheriff at that particular time. Adrian Kirksey was there. Marco White, Major Marco White. And I was just thinking, man, I was really thinking hard. They're going to ask me these tough questions, you know, and they're going to... It looked like they give you a chair that's a lot lower than their chair. So you're like, your chin's on the edge of the table. It's like, hey, guys, I want to be a bully. You know, I remember they said this. They said, now, if you had a friend, a partner in law enforcement that was with you and you're going into a store, and we're going to be talking about Jeremy Lin and Drew Brees in the extra hour. Doesn't matter, we're going to get him. You want to hear his testimony. It's a powerful testimony. Because the two of them together, God just gave them $125 million for standing up boldly for him.
Wow.
And I want to encourage you to begin to stand up boldly for the Lord. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're looking at, you know, Drew Brees, Jeremy Lin. You're looking at Tim Tebow,
right.
You know, and it's time for every one of us to stand up like that. So anyway, I'm at the end of this table, and they're asking me this question, and I knew they were going to kind of ask me this question. They said, you and your partner are going into a store or something, and you notice that your partner reaches over and grabs a pack of cigarettes off the shelf, and he puts it in his pocket, and he's stealing it, you know. What are you going to do? And you're thinking, do-do-do-do-do. You're thinking, okay, they are police officers. I mean, you know, are they wanting me to say, you know, slam them to the ground, cuff them, and throw them in the back of the cruiser? Or they want me to say, well, I can't, you know, obviously they just broke the law. Mm-hmm. It is a misdemeanor. Misdemeanors, officers have discretion. You know, it's felonies, they don't have discretion. But misdemeanors, they can say, I'm not going to make this arrest.
Mm-hmm.
They can choose to do that. And so I thought, and 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 they're just like looking at me, waiting for me to answer. And then I said, I would do whatever is required of me to do by the Florida state statutes.
Very good.
That was it. And I didn't even know what they were. And they moved on. But this is what my friend, you know, Major Kurtz, he said. And it was true. It's true. And I think it's still a reality. He says, they said, what is your strength and what are your weaknesses? And so I said, well, my strength is that I have a tendency to locate criminals and put them in jail extremely well. No, right. I didn't say that. I said, what are my strengths? Well, I don't know what it was. But then they said, well, what is your weaknesses? I'm like, well, I can't tell them that.
You're talking to police officers.
Yeah, right. I can't.
Scratch that.
Yeah, I can't. I'm like, you're going this whole list. Oh, I can't say that. You know, I can't go that. And I'm just taking my time going like, this is not going to be good, you know, and I'm just stuck. It's not that I didn't have any. I didn't know which one to share. Right. And before I could get them out, you know, Major Kirksey, who called me up about the job, he goes, well, he's naive.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, it's true. I mean, it's true for so long. You know, I just believe that, and I still believe in people. I still believe there's good in them, but you got to have that God can be in them,
mm-hmm.
you know, obviously. But there are people who just are set on doing evil.
Mm-hmm.
It just shocks me. It shocks me that people... You know, and it's that's naivety.
Right.
But there are people that profess the name of Jesus that will kill you mm-hmm. and sing at your funeral. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that are held captive by the adversary that are slackers because Satan has them captive. And they're a partner with the very one who the other person that you know is obviously bringing destruction. They're the brother of that particular person
mm-hmm.
that's bringing destruction. You may have been entrusted with something from your employer. You may have been entrusted with something from your platoon leader. You may have been entrusted with something from the leader of your ministry, you know, from an apostle or a pastor or something, and you're a slacker with that and you're not doing it, you know, that you're partnering with destruction. It's going to bring mm-hmm. in quite often that a lot of people don't understand that's a partner with destruction. So they look at the destruction that happens and they go, I wonder how that happened. Yeah, they must have done something wrong.
Right.
But a slacker is defined as this, as a person who avoids work or effort, one who is apathetic, which means lack of interest and enthusiasm,
wow.
is aimless, a person without vision, or knowing what the vision is for that particular company they're working for, where mm-hmm. they're related to. And he says that, you know, that these particular, a person who is slack in their work, a slacker, is a partner with the one who is intentionally plotting to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen so many things over the years that didn't come to pass, not because it wasn't good, not because it wasn't the right thing, and it wasn't because somebody was plotting evil. It's because they were slack
mm-hmm.
in their work. They didn't do it with excellence. They didn't think it was important. They did other things other than what they were responsible for doing.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Right.
So I want to encourage you today, and this word of wisdom today, that the word of wisdom is Proverbs 18:9. One who is slack in his work, a slacker, is a brother of the one who destroys. And the name for Satan is what? He's the destroyer.
Right.
And so we have to, first of all, you don't want to take on more than you can handle. If you have a talent that can handle, you know, 10 things, don't take on 12 things, because it's going to look like you're slacking, but you're overcommitting.
Mm-hmm.
But then what you commit to in your workplace, you do it.
Mm-hmm.
You do it. You prioritize your day. And if you don't, you know, and if you're interested in, and we may make available to our listeners, you know, value-based vision management, you just subscribe to VFNTV. Subscribe to VFNTV. It's a free subscription. Go to VFNTV.com and subscribe for free. And it's a lot of things there for to help you out in your day-to-day life, you know. So many people are saying, you know, take Africa, take China, take Russia, you know, take America. And a lot of people are saying, how do I take me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do I take me? And we're really focused on that because, you know, how do we move back to a place of character again? You know, how do we move back to a place of integrity again? And we're all on that journey and we're flawed. But with that, we know that that God can do it by his grace. He can mm-hmm. bring us into a place. He can bring us into a place of transformation.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Isn't that cool? So the word of wisdom today, the wisdom moment today is Proverbs 18:9. One who is slack in his work is a brother to the one who destroys. Listen, don't, and this is important too, not only for yourself. You know, you check out, you know, if you are struggling with that. But understand this, if you're a leader, you need to identify the one who's the brother of destruction. You need to identify that person, mm-hmm. because you have a responsibility to find out who's destroying that work, who's destroying that business. And if you want to know who it is, ask the people that work amongst the slacker. They'll let you know. Wow. And so you need to actually go to that person as a leader, mm-hmm. and gently instruct them and help them, and help them identify that you might not know this, but by being slack in your work, you're bringing destruction to this company. And right now, of all times, we need to have a company that is prosperous, that it treats its customers well, that each of us does our job. And when layoffs come, by the way, the first person they're going to lay off is
the slacker.
The slacker. I mean, right. The first person they're going to do. But you want to, as a leader, we want to love that person and encourage them and instruct them to be able to, you know, not be a slacker, to understand. Mm-hmm. They might not understand. Most people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. They don't really realize that they're partnering, you know, with the destroyer. Mm-hmm. And if they find that out, they're like, oh my goodness, I just thought I was just, you know, not doing what I was asked to do. Well, that's called rebellion at the office, and it's not necessarily a good thing. Well, we'll be right back in just a moment.
Isn't it so cool? All of our Facebook fans out here and our friends that are just connected and listening all around the world.
Right.
You know, if you haven't yet friended us or liked us, I guess they call it. Right. When you choose like on our Facebook, it just keeps all the posts. If there's a post made about what's an upcoming program, a highlight, something, it just shows up, I guess, on your Facebook. Mm. You can go to VFNTV.com and under areas to follow us, and you can just follow through our Facebook right there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure can.
But it's just really cool. We want to say hello and a shout out to all of our Facebook friends that are out there. It's exciting how the message is going out and the feedback that we're getting. And we want to encourage you not only to go to our Facebook and like us, but once you've done that, you know, share some of these highlights. Go to the VFNTV blog and just copy the link of one of those blogs and encourage your fellow brother, your sister, your family member, those people that are in your group of friends that are in your Facebook. So many people need to be encouraged. And now you can go into the wonderful basket of opportunity on VFNTV.com, go to the VFNTV blog, go to the highlights, and just copy something there and just paste it into your Facebook, and they'll get it and be able to listen to it on their phones or whatever. It's just really, really cool. Also, on your application, right there on your Android or your iPhone or your iPad, they're in the menu choice on the VFNTV app. You have our Facebook right there. You can click there, follow through, and like us.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios for the last few moments of the first hour is Steve Kalaszewski.
Hello, hello.
You know, we are moments away from beginning our extra hour. If you haven't yet joined us in the extra hour, understand it just continues on. We're going to be talking about, in the extra hour, about Drew Brees and Jeremy Lin, NBA and NFL, how God has blessed these two with a total of $125 million paycheck. And they stand up boldly for God. We're going to be sharing their testimony and even the choice of music. Think about it, the choice of music choices for Jeremy Lin. And it's just really cool. So I want to make sure you join us. We have so many things we still want to share about the original intent as well. We're going to be focusing on, did you know, 30% of Christians, conservative people, believe that they're registered to vote and they're not. And you're going to show up at the polls and say, let me vote, but they're not going to make a big deal about it. You're just going to walk away and you can't pull the lever. And so we're going to be talking about how you can register right today, right now. You can register, find out if you're registered. If you're not, click a button to be able to register, and you can be registered to vote. Find out more about that, you know, at our extra hour today. We're coming to a close of the first hour. God bless you. For those that aren't going to join us in the extra hour, God bless you. We pray that you'll have a blessed day. Don't forget, you can find out more about us online at VFNTV.com, and you can download our app at your app store at VFNTV. Search your app store for VFNTV. Download that puppy, and you got us 24/7. God bless, and we'll see you in the extra hour.